What you're about to listen to has the power to completely change your life, taking you from where you might currently find yourself to where you ought to be. This is the Word of God coming to you from Christ Family Ministry.
We're looking at why the blessing is very, very important, why it's key, why it is important for every Christian to understand what the blessing is and the need to walk in it. And we saw that the blessing is spiritual. We discovered from Scripture yesterday that when we come into the experience of being saved, when we experience the miracle of the new birth, one of the things that happens to us is that we are translated into the kingdom of God, and then we are given the ability to influence physical things by the power of the invisible. Because there's such thing as a spiritual life. That this world that we live in is not just physical, is not just material. It is that, first of all, it is what? It is spiritual. And the realm of the spirit controls the physical realm that we're in. That nothing happens in the physical if it has not first been settled in the realm of the spirit. And the spiritual realm is real. And the call to the new birth is that we are translated into the realm of God. Praise the Lord. We are translated into the realm of God. We are translated into the realm of the supernatural. We are translated into the realm of the spirit. That means in the new birth, man is restored to that default setting, so to say, where we are operating like God operates, in his image and in his likeness. The image of God is in the new creation. The very image of God, as God is, so are we. We are here on earth. And also, we are like him, meaning that we have his attributes, and he expects us all to function like he would function. And that is what it means to have the invisible moving the visible. We also saw that for success in anything that God has asked us to do, it's a combination of both what? Physical and spiritual elements. There's a physical part. There is a part that you need to do. The human being is made of the spiritual part, and is also made up of what? The physical part. That's what Jesus was saying. He said that there is an inner man that you cannot see that controls the outer man, which you can see. I am here today because Arame, my body is here because Arame said he'll be here. That means this physical body that I live in doesn't actually have any power to make any decision of its own. It is only here executing, are we following, the desires, the decisions of the inner man called Arame. Because man is a spirit. He has a soul and he lives where? In a physical body. So my spirit man makes a decision, and on the basis of that decision, my physical body does what? Carries it out. That's why Scripture says, as a man thinks in his heart, Proverbs 23, so is he. Thoughts can't be seen. That means there's the part of you where things are processed. There's a part of you where things are decided. Then the body acts it out. And a lot of time, as Christians, where we miss it is when Nicodemus missed it. When we are trying to do what someone has done, but we've not first conceived what that person has conceived. You see, we can have control over the physical things that we do, over the physical elements. But the problem is this. There are certain elements within that are needed for success that are not within the control of a man. I'll give you an example. Do you know you can start a shop, have it well painted, stock it up, and follow everything in the books that is said to be done? In fact, you might have even have done your market survey, and you know what the people need, true or false. And then you're ready to start the business, but you can't force the people to come. The people patronizing you is not within your power. That means there are certain things that are not within your power. Are we following? So just because someone does something and you copy it does not exactly mean you will get the same result. Because there are spiritual programmings that make things to work. And where we read yesterday, talking about Jacob and Esau, you know the difference? Jacob was thinking spiritual things, while Esau was thinking carnal. He just felt that I'm the firstborn, so by right, anything that's going to be is going to be. That's a big mistake. Jacob kept waiting for something. And when a man is expectant, opportunities will present themselves for him. So, one day Esau comes home and is hungry. And this was his golden opportunity. Like I pray for Christians, don't trade eternal things for immediate gratification. And he said, I'm hungry. Can you serve me some of your stew? And I don't know if you know that carnal things always look appealing. Nice. Imagine a pot of stew. Red. Glory to God. Imagine it dancing in the pot. Imagine how beautiful it will look if you are a hungry man. I know sometimes when you are hungry, you don't really know whether your food is tasty or not. You don't really care. You just want to eat. Especially if it's in a pot and it's just, you know. So imagine what this guy was looking at. Just seeing something really, really nice. And of all things to ask for, guess what Jacob decides to ask for? Decides to ask for the firstborn right. This is a question I want to ask you. How much is the firstborn right? How much do you pay to be a firstborn? That means the firstborn right is an intangible substance that cannot be bought. It is given by grace. Listen, the most important things in life are not cars and houses and properties and things that you see. The most important things in life are intangible things. But this is what Esau failed to realize. He said, give me that pot of soup. And you know what he said that is so pathetic? He said, what is the birthright to me that I am hungry? I know what the Bible calls him in the book of Hebrews chapter 12. The Bible calls Esau a profane man. That means a man who doesn't have value for spiritual things and does not know the worth of spiritual things. Scripture calls him what? A profane person. Some years ago, I just driven into a town and I heard Bill Winston was ministering there. So I just saw a couple of our church folks. I said, what's happening? Where are you all headed? They said, Bill Winston is in town. I said, let's go there. So, when we came there, the pastor that invited Bill Winston, you know, great pastor, and, you know, the place was really fine. He's one of the most excellent men of God I know in this country. And the place really looked nice and was wonderful. In fact, I was put in front where ministers sit. It was really cold. And here they were, we're just waiting, and Bill Winston comes in. And when he comes in, he begins to minister. And what a great time I had. In fact, to be honest, the message that Bill Winston preached that day is a message I've heard probably how many times on his, got lots of his messages. I've heard him preach it before. And when we finished this meeting, we're going out, and I was one of the brothers. And all he could talk about in that meeting was not the things he heard, was not the impartations, were not the words spoken. He just kept talking about the pastor's shoes, the pastor's suit, the pastor's this, the pastor's that, the pastor's this. And he was just talking about every other thing. He was just looking at the pot of stew. And I understood exactly why the Bible calls Esau a profane man. Because it was profanity to me. Because I was wondering, how could we have spent over 2 hours in this place and that's all you could see? Let me tell you, begin to see the right things. A lot of you are so, sometimes lots of Christians are so bothered about what they don't have that they fail to realize what they have. They are so concerned about what is not yet that they fail to understand what is already existing. They are so bothered about who has not come that they fail to understand who's on their side. See, the things you have in Christ Jesus, they are priceless. Spiritual things are priceless. And what we're saying is that is these spiritual things that make physical things to work. Because while we were there And bewitched in what means the Spirit of the Lord spoke to my heart, said, Arame, this is a place to plant a seed. And I turned to the person who I was with. I said, look, go. And he quickly ran to the bank and got me an offering. I said, it's not possible for me to come in contact with this person and live the same. And while it was time, you know, we dropped our offerings and he spoke words. He began to bless. I left there like I had laid hold on what? On something. I knew. What did I do? I took that offering that I had and I transacted it for what? For spiritual things. Let me encourage you. Learn to pay for spiritual things with physical substances. Your physical substances, you should learn to transact them. Transact with them. Learn to transact with seeds. We might talk about that tomorrow. But learn to transact. Place great value on spiritual things. Can I ask you a question? If you lick a pot of soup, how long is that going to keep you? I've seen some people who hang around people and they are not focusing on what's on the person. They are looking at what the person has. Maybe I should say this to younger ministers. I have never been in association with any minister of God hoping to receive his stuff. When we started church in Abuja, I spoke with a very senior man of God and I told him, this is what God is leading me to do. And before I got there, he said God had spoken to him that I was coming to tell him that we're about to start church. He's a man of the Spirit. He's a prophet. And he said, ask my PA. I just told him that this is what Pastor Roman is coming to tell me. So he welcomed me into his space and, you know, access is a privilege. I was so honored he took me into his study and we sat there and he began to talk to me and encourage me and tell me what I needed to do to start out in faith. He just encouraged my heart. In fact, he was just perfect. I went to see him. He encouraged my heart. And then he prayed for me. And when I was about leaving, he said, Pastor Arame, you know I like you. I said, thank you, sir. He said, listen, if there is anything that I can do for you in this town, don't fail to ask for it. Within my power, it's yours. He said, and he turned and said, that's not a political statement. You know, because some pastors are politicians. They tell you such things and that's all to it. He said, that's not a political statement. I mean it. So the first year we started church, you know, when you start church, there are many things you're in faith for. It's a journey of faith. You're calling things. You're believing God for this. You're believing God for that. And here we were, because I went there and I took my seed to him and I blessed him. And he blessed me. And, you know, one of the days we're talking about how to get a particular thing. I don't mention it. Because if you hear what we're looking for then, you'll be laughing now. We are way past there. And this brother said, oh. But the man of God said that anything you need, you can come and see him. I said, oh, really? So that blank check was given to us. And that is all you can think of us feeling on it. I said, if we run to the man of God and he gives us that now, when we need the next thing, who are we going to run to? I said, listen, when the man of God told me that, what I was looking for is not his stuff. What I wanted is that thing that is upon him, I must get connected to it. Because God is not my uncle. The grace of God upon his life that is evident is what I want to be connected to. And we might not come there today, but grace or the anointing or the blessing, you can get into partnership with it because that's how God designed it to be. And that's what Paul was teaching the Philippians. He said, from the first day of the gospel to now, no one partnered with me. When he was praying for them in Philippians chapter 1, he was talking to them, he said, he was so confident that he who began a good work in them will be faithful to complete it, inasmuch as they are all what? Partakers of his grace. What Paul was saying is that there's something upon me. It's not just for me alone. Every one of you who is connected to this thing, you will get the same results and none of you can fail. So listen, church, we should be looking for graces to be in partnership with. I heard Reverend B. Odunfa Toyinbo say something recently on Instagram. He said he was praying and the Lord told him that there is nothing that a man needs in this life that he has not already provided. He said, but they are with men. I know I'm going a bit ahead of myself, but I know somebody's getting blessed. He said, they are with men. He said, everything you're looking for is provided in the grace, in my grace that is upon a man. So let your eyes be open to recognize And listen, let's not get into some of these, in quote, charismatic jargon where you say, well, we're all blessed in Christ. We're going to come to that. Don't twist scriptures. Don't take a scripture out of place and build an interpretation around it. So you need to understand that you need to go for what works. The power of a blessing. Say amen. So let's turn our Bibles to Job 38. That's just like a recap from yesterday. Let's press further, right? Job 38, 33. You know, I love this book, this chapter. Look at the question. Do you know the ordinances? The word ordinance there means laws. It means status. It means programming. In our every, in our present day term, we'll say, we'll write this verse to mean, do you know the codes? Do you know the programming? Do you know the statutes of the heavens or of the heavenlies? One translation says, do you know the laws of the universe? He said, can you set their dominion over the earth? Have you thought of that question? No, calm down. Are we together? Here the question someone is asking. He's saying that the heavens can be used to exercise dominion over the earth. But you know, you need to know how it works. So this is what he says. He said, do you know the ordinance? Do you know the programs? Do you know the ordinance of the heavens? And can you set their dominion? That means the heavens have dominion over the earth. And the question is that, do you know it? No, this is a very intelligent question. Because if you don't know it, you will be part of the program. So there are two kinds of people on earth, the programmers and those who are programmed. So if you don't know how to program things, you will be part of the program. And that's where a lot of believers are, a lot of people in the world, that's where they are. They are just part of a program. Anything that comes, theirs is just to complain. Listen, the people that make headlines don't read the papers because they don't care. So the question is this, do you want to analyze what happens in the papers or you want to be the one making the headlines? Do you want to create the story? I was telling someone, I said, a lot of times we complain about things that happen in government, about things that happen around. The truth is this, your complaint just remains in your circle. It remains within your circle. How many of you have seen some of those analysts that come on television? Today we are so honored to have Mr. So-and-so, Suji Ajukwu, you know, if that's your name, forgive me. And he's a public what analyst, and he's here today. So, Mr. Suji, what do you think about the recent pandemic? He said, yeah. Thank you. It's so good to have me here again, because they're always there. After the discourse, that was just a good show. It doesn't change anything. You know why? They're all part of a program. Before some of these things are done, they know that you're going to talk about it. It's been managed, everything. They control the media. They tell the media what they want you to hear, what they want you to see. They condition the news. So there are people who make things happen. And the question here is, do you know the laws? And I made up my mind, hello, that I don't want to just be one who sits down and is a part of the program. I want to be a change maker. I want to exercise the full dominion of God. Remember what we said yesterday in Genesis 1:26. God created man to have dominion, not to be dominated. Man was not created to be dominated. Man was created to have dominion. Say amen if you can. Amen. And the word dominion means to have influence, to be able to rule and be able to set in order, to put things in place. And hear me, when the wrong person has the influence, he will put wrong things in place. But when the right person has the influence, he will put right things in place. Influence is important. You can't talk about dominion without talking about influence. I know often when people talk about influence, they don't even know what it means. You say this person is an influencer. He has 500 and something followers. He's a media influencer. He's a political influencer. But you know that word influence, you know, I checked the etymology of that word and it's interesting. It's of a French origin, but it came from a Latin word which is a influencia, which means a flow. Are we together? So when they talk about influence, it's talking about a flow. And up until the 14th century, it was actually an astrological occultic term. It was a term that was used by people in the occult. And guess what it means? It means streaming ethereal power from the stars in certain positions so that it can act on people's character and destiny. So when someone says, I want influence, what they're saying is that I want cosmic powers. I want abilities that can influence people's character. Are you listening to me? And people's, destiny in a particular direction. That is why you hear that something came out and it's a trend. Everybody begins to follow it. Meaning that there are supernatural forces that are influencing your decision. Hello? You are a believer, you want to write a song. Hear me. Make sure that song has some influence. And there's a place where influence comes from. It's not just doing a thing. It's that thing you're doing, is there a flow? And in church, we know what that flow is. It's the anointing. Influence is the anointing. Is there an anointing upon what you're doing that will cause the character of people, that will cause people to perceive it? See, when influence comes upon a man, hear me, when influence comes upon a man, he will be perceived differently. People will see you differently. The same thing you've been doing, people will see it differently. You know the story of that Shunammite woman and the prophet? The Bible says the prophet was passing and she said, I perceive that this is a holy man of God. That thing called perceive is she saw differently. Say amen. She saw differently. She looked at him and said, no, there's something different about this man. What made, did the man perform a miracle? No. Did the man, do any supernatural act? No. Is that there was a holy influence about that man. That the moment she saw that man, he said, no, there's something about this man. That is the same way. When this influence is upon you, when the anointing of God is upon you, when you are walking in the blessing, when people see you, they will perceive you differently. Listen, influence is the difference between two shops in the same location. And the word influence, that's what it means. It's like a flow. It's something that is a liquid, something that brings together. That means when you have the gum of the Spirit, you will begin to attract things in your life. Glory to God. You begin to see things work for you. You will see things work. You know, I was talking to someone, and he said, Pastor, I used to know this fellow. I used to know this man. I knew how he was struggling. And all of a sudden, he joined a group of people. And after that, his life just changed within 1 year. Everything around him changed. I said, yes, that's influence. Something has come. He said, even the kind of cases, because the person is a lawyer, he said, the kind of cases and the places the person found himself, he said, and he began to ask himself, in one year, what has happened? Do you remember what the devil told Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, in the temptation? What did he say? He said, if you only bow down and worship me. He showed him all the kingdoms of heaven, of the earth. And he said, if you will bow down and worship me, I will do what? I will give these things to you because they've been delivered to me. What was he saying there? That is influence. I will give you dominion. Now, that was a real temptation. Because if it was not a temptation, scriptures would have told us. In fact, Jesus would have known. Jesus would have said, devil, don't waste your time. I know you are joking. You don't have it to give. That means the devil had influence to give. And people bow today. People bow today. Please just follow. People bow today for that influence. Because wealth responds to worship. If you see anyone who is influencing people, making things happen, are you getting me? Above the level of men, let me assure you, don't be deceived. There are laws of the heaven giving him dominion over the earth. And there you are saying, but we were in school together. We grew up in the same neighborhood. That's not how it works. Life is not communal. When God blessed Abraham, what did he say? He brought him out. You come to a point, you make your decision. Thank you, Father. So go back to that Job 38. Job 38, verse 33. Something is happening to someone tonight. So do you know the ordinances of the heavens? Can you set their dominion over the earth? That means you can set it. It's like a thermostat, right? You can set it. You know, if you want the air conditioner in your house to be at a particular temperature, you set it to a particular temperature and then you have it so cold. If it's too cold, you get your remote and reduce. How many of you like that experience? So, you are not at the mercy of the you're not at the mercy of the temperature. You don't say, wow, this AC is too cold. There's nothing I can do about it. That remote is control, is influence. Imagine you are in a room that is so cold and you are not the owner of the remote. That means the person who has the remote will decide what temperature you will experience. In the early days of ministry, I traveled with a brother and they kept us in a very nice hotel. I went to minister somewhere. And I put on the AC and, wow, I got up in the night. He was shaking and freezing, but he couldn't do anything. You know why? It's my room. You can be sure the remote was by my side. That's influence. That's what the scripture is saying. Do you know the laws of the remote control and how it affects the room? Do you get it now? That is how it works. A lot of us complain. You know why? We don't know how it works. We complain about everything. Abuja is difficult. Nigeria is hard. There are no opportunities here. So you jump out of one program and enter another program. That's how we look for other countries to go to. You fail to realize that every country has their programmers. So you jump from that one, you enter another one. I don't just want to live somewhere. I want to impact everywhere. Look at verse 34. He said, can you lift up your voice, Kai? Can you lift up your voice to the clouds that an abundance of water may cover you? Imagine. He's saying that, do you know how to use your voice to tell rain to come? Now, these are the things that ordinarily you will say you can't do anything about. If it's going to rain, it will rain. But here is he. See, I want your thoughts provoked. If it's not possible, he won't be saying it. See, do you know how to call water to come? Give me the Message translation. He said, can you do it? Ask your neighbor, can you do it? Do you know how to use your voice to command the waters? That means even the clouds are at your... Remember I told you yesterday, all things are yours. Listen, if your business is not going the way you want it to go, do you know how to use spiritual laws to turn them around? Or you just sit there saying, what's going to be is going to be. What goes up must come down. Hear me, some things go up, they never come down. And that's what's going to be is going to be. Attitude must change. It's when you lack influence, you think like that. You say, in God's own time, he's going to do his thing. I believe in God's timing. But hear me at the same time. You must realize where God has placed you. He has quickened us, Ephesians 2 says, and has raised us up to sit together with him in heavenly places, far above principalities and power. That means there's a spiritual sitting that we have as believers that we need to now start learning. This seat that God has given me, this place where I'm sitting, what can I influence from here? Message translation says, can you get the attention of the clouds and commission a shower of rain? Verse 35. He said, can you take charge of the lightning bolts and have them respond to your orders? Lightning bolts. Growing up, I used to hear stories of how men direct lightning. You see, that man there, he knows how to direct lightnings. Maybe some of you have not heard things like that. So he knows how to direct lightning. He can tell the lightning where to go. And you look at such people and say, wow. That's what this scripture is saying. Ask your neighbor, can you do that? Can you tell the lightning where to go? That means all these elements that we see, what Job is saying is, you can have mastery of spiritual things and then begin to affect physical events. And it's the same thing with wealth. That means you will have spiritual empowerment, and then you will have spiritual understanding and know-how. Listen, there's physical empowerment. You know, you need physical strength to be able to do some things. I need physical strength to be here. If I was not strong enough to hold this microphone, probably somebody would have to hold it for me. So physical strength is important. Every time I'm looking at big-time projects, you know what I think? I'm always seeing three categories of people. The person sponsoring the project, the person who is thinking the project, and the person who is doing it. In Abuja, I always see people running up and down, working hard and building houses, which is good, don't get me wrong. And I say, how many of them get to ever live in the houses that they build? Because some, all they have is what? Physical empowerment, physical energy. You see them so well built. That's all they can do. That's how useful they are. That's how far they can go. It's just physical strength. Others have what I call mental empowerment, mental strength. And mental strength is good. They are sharp, they are intelligent. And do you know, in life, mental strength and mental ability and mental empowerment pays higher than physical strength. Check it everywhere you go. I was talking to, you know, when we started building the Theater of Faith, I had some of these guys who were working here, and one of them said to me, he said, all this work we are doing, architect will come and say, I don't like this, I don't like this. His own is just to say, I don't like this. Him and the site engineer, I don't like this, break this down, go and do this. And they go and sit down and be sitting inside AC, and they'll pay them a lot of money, and we're the ones doing the real work here. And I said, you can also get up and sit there. Because if you tell that same person to put his mental prowess to work, to develop his mental ability and study calculus, am I talking to someone? You know, he will tell you that he will rather dig. But the commercial value for digging is not as high as thinking. That's why a lot of people work hard, but they don't work smart. Scripture says that the labor of a fool will wear everybody around him. He's tired, his wife will be tired, the children will be tired. So you need to work hard in the right place. If the same number of hours given to digging is given to reading, one will pay higher. If you can prefer solutions, others just execute it. But some people, that's all they know. They only know about mental empowerment. And that's what we talk about. But beyond mental empowerment, there's spiritual empowerment. And this is the one most people do not know. Because a man who understands the ropes of the spirit will pay the man who thinks mentally and the man who walks physically. So you discover that people who have spiritual empowerment work hard in their area in order to have control. This is not spiritism. They don't look at everything from a natural standpoint. You go to every field of life, you see what I'm saying. You know, I was telling someone, I said, look, don't think that only Africans know AKA jazz. It's everywhere. A footballer was talking of how he was having incessant issues with his knees, and they got the best doctors to treat him. And you know, the thing just kept reoccurring. So they asked him, that how did he make a comeback? He said someone introduced him to a healer in Serbia who uses the liver of horses to treat people. I said, that's interesting. And how did they do it? They will break the horse's leg and then start treating you. The day the horse's leg gets healed, you are healed. Somebody say, wow, that has gone ballistic. That's how this world operates. Meaning that what the experts cannot solve, there are people who have gone to other levels. So put your focus on spiritual things. You say you're a fashion designer, you're just drawing pictures. It's not only pictures. Pictures will pay, but mental empowerment has mental thresholds that cannot be crossed. There are some things that no matter how hard you try, you can't cross. But when someone has what I call spiritual power, if he comes into a place, he will dominate. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22. And as Christians, we have the advantage of both physical strength, we have mental strength, and we have what? Spiritual strength. Proverbs 10:22. The Bible says, it is the blessing that truly makes rich. It says, the blessing of the Lord makes one rich. Say the blessing. The Bible says, it makes one rich. Then he adds no sorrow with it. Powerful scripture. That word rich there is the word asa. It means to accumulate. It is the blessing of the Lord that makes a man accumulate. Go and check your Bible. It means to accumulate. It makes one rich. It makes one to grow. It makes one to blow until he or she becomes what? Very, very rich. Give me the Amplified Translation. Your hard work alone doesn't make rich. There are many hardworking people that if they would just add this element called the blessing to their work, their lives will change. I told you yesterday, before God formed Adam, what did he do? He spoke to Adam. Then he now formed Adam. Then he now gave Adam work to do. So the missing element in the labors of most believers is not that they are not doing the right thing, not that they are not crossing their T's and dotting their I's, is that the element that makes rich, they are not laboring after it. They are not conscious of it. So they have left their tough and they are competing with men. And listen, when you are not in your tough, you struggle. The blessing of the Lord, it makes truly rich, and he has no sorrow with it. Neither does toiling increase it. So there's an empowerment that comes from God. Somebody say, what's the blessing? It's an empowerment from God. It's a spiritual empowerment. I read a story in scriptures today that maybe we should go there. First Kings 22. Let's go there. You know, at the age of 35, King Jehoshaphat began to reign in Israel. Give me verse 48. 1 Kings 22, verse 48. He began to reign. And the Bible says he walked in the footsteps of his father Asa. Then scripture says Jehoshaphat ordered what? Ships. No, give me the Message translation. Scripture says Jehoshaphat built ocean-going ships to sail to Ophi for gold. You know, in Bible times, the finest gold were from Ophi. Remember Job? He says you will lay up gold like dust, like the gold of Ophi. So he says, he wanted to start a business, King Jehoshaphat. The Bible says he built ocean-going ships to sail to Ophi for gold, but they never made it. Underline it. He got to me. He built ships, but the Bible says the ships never made it. They shipwrecked at Ezion Geber. Imagine you're starting a business, you have everything in place, and the Bible says the business did not see the light of day. Why? When the blessing is not upon you, you could have everything perfect. One simple element will frustrate everything. He had political power. He had the know-how. He built the ships. He was starting out. But the Bible says the ship never made it. They never made it. Because they were shipwrecked. So the elements of the wind that keeps the ships from being wrecked, only the blessing can control such forces. It's only the favor of God that makes things work in your favor. It is the blessing of God that turns things in your favor. It is the blessing of God that puts things in place. This is what I want you to get. That the factors that are beyond your ability that you can't plan is the blessing of God that makes them work for you. It's the blessing of God that makes customers come to your shop. It's the blessing of God that opens the hearts of people to you, not your hard work. Your hard work can prepare a business. Your hard work can prepare a script. Your hard work can do what it can do. But the response, the profitability of that thing. And listen, you can't be talking about profit. You can't be talking about being rich without interacting with people. That interaction with people, only the blessing of God can position the people's heart towards you. It's the blessing of God that will make people prefer your goods to the goods of another person. It is the favor of God that will make other people to look at you differently and say, look, we prefer this person to that other person. Verse 49 says, during that time, Ahaziah, son of Ahab, proposed a joint shipping venture. They say, Jehoshaphat, come, let's try again. Let's go into business, you know. But Jehoshaphat wouldn't go in with him. He said, I'm done with that business. And verse 50 says, then Jehoshaphat died. May you not die like that. The Bible says he died and was buried in the family cemetery in the city of David, his ancestor. Jehoram, his son, was the next king. And that's how some people die. They start something, it didn't work. Are you getting me? They just resign to fate and die and wait for pension. That's how they live their lives. It didn't work. That's it. We tried it. I built ships. In fact, I really wanted to go into the shipping business. But, you know, my first ship just died. Since then, I've not gone again. Somebody comes and says, can we get into it? Can we? He said, no, I'm done. If you're like that, that has changed. It's not that what you did was wrong. It's that you went into the field without the element that brings victory. I'm sure why Jehoshaphat backed out was this. He just turned and looked at the guy. He said, you don't understand what I'm saying. I've tried this thing before. I maybe I've ever invested, nothing came out of it. He said, no need to invest. I'm done. Those things don't work. Who told you they don't work? Are they not working somewhere else? That they are not working for you doesn't mean they don't work. I've seen people who get into, you know, they say it's God has called them to do music. And after a while, you know, you listen. Have you seen Sinachi's song, Waymaker? It's been topping the billboard in US for weeks. You know, I had to screen grab that thing and keep it. Even today, I looked at it. I said, that means from Nigeria here, you can affect the world. Your business, what that thing in your hand? Hello. And tomorrow when I'm going to talk to you about how to be fruitful and then how to multiply what you are fruitful at and how to fill, you know, and how to subdue your space. Don't try to subdue what you have not been fruitful at. It is the blessing of God that gives you concepts and ideas that enlarges what you do. That people will travel all the way from one end of the world to come and patronize you. Where was Joseph when Pharaoh found him? He was in a dungeon, but he was located. That means it's not your location. See, when the blessing is upon you, men will find you and they will seek you and they will find you. Mommy, Lily Caraway told me, he said, Pastor Arame, how did I find you in Boko? Because Boko is not on the map. I say it's the blessing. It's from Boko here that I've been to every place I've been to. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? It's the blessing of God. So I believe in the blessing. It makes what? It makes rich. And he adds no sorrow with it. You know why? If the empowerment is not from God, it can make you rich, but it will introduce every sorrow. Because that's what the devil wanted to do. You worship me, I will give you something, but I have your soul for life. Now, as a roundup for today. Now, this will shock you because I just want to make these definitions and then I say, thank you, Lord Jesus. I saw something interesting today. I've been a student of the blessing for years. I remember those days, myself and Pastor Gaylord will be walking the streets of Boko. We'll be speaking God's word and declaring God's word. And, you know, people will be laughing. I remember one of those conversations I had with Pastor Gaylord. I will never forget. If you know Boko, we're trekking from General Hospital to Tofi. Glory. Yeah. I will never forget that conversation. And we're calling ourselves multi-billionaires. And we're speaking about the tomorrow that we are in today. Those walks are priceless. You know, there are people that you spend time with, you don't ever forget. I'm not saying you must trek all your life, please. I'm telling you that if I'm talking to you about what I'm saying, you should know that I've been a student of this for long. And I looked, I said, look, Pastor Gaylord, do you know we can have a world-class ministry here in Boko? That anything we see happening in Kenneth Copeland Ministries, anything we see happening in Jerry Savelle Ministries, in Kenneth Hagin Ministries, hallelujah, we can have it here in Boko. And I will never forget, Pastor Gaylord looked at me and said, what can stop us? He said, because we are blessed men. And I just want to let you know that this place we are transmitting from is live from the Theater of Faith here in Boko, Benue State, Nigeria. And from here, people are watching us from different parts of the world. Some of the people that commented yesterday and sent messages, I was shocked. It's the blessing that somebody is outside the shores of Nigeria and is willing to log on to this platform and is hearing Christ Family Ministries bring God's word, and we are having a convention and people are connecting from all over. It is the power of the blessing. It's not our hard work, because you can have all this paraphernalia and nobody will want to hear what you have to say. But this is what I found out about the blessing that I want to leave with you tonight. The blessing is from the word baraka, and it means to take the bow. It means to kneel. In the Hebrew, that's what it means. It means to bend the knees. So I began to think. In fact, I have been meditating upon this for weeks. To bend the knees. To submit to. It means to submit to one higher than you. For the purpose of words being spoken over you to empower you and lift you from where you are. That means anybody that is working in some form of empowerment in this life is bowing his knees to something. The question is that what do you worship? What do you bow to? You cannot excel without bowing. And when men come to a point where their natural strength has failed, where their mental capacities are not giving them any breakthrough, what do they seek? They begin to look for supernatural interventions. And that's why we have men bowing knees to different forms of beings and idols in a bid to make progress. You see this in every area of life. But I've got good news for you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. What that means is that when I received Christ, I bent my knees to God and something came upon me. It means bending your knees and someone placing his hand upon you and empowering you and putting that influence, that substance upon you. The word blessed means to invoke favor. To invoke favor upon a man in order for that man to excel in whatever he does. Thank you, Lord. That means a being higher than you speaks words. And then those words begin to make forces to respond to you. You will stand in a place and sing the song you have sung in one place. And 1,000 people will never be tired of hearing it again and again. And millions want to hear what you have to sing. And they are wondering, what are in these simple lines? It's not the lines. It's the empowerment. It's the influence that has come upon it. And that's where I see you rising to. I said, that's where I see you rising to. I see the power of God coming upon the things you do as you bend your knees in worship. And listen, it's not just that you bend your knees to worship. The object that you worship determines the influence you attract. So if you bend your knees to an altar where a particular life source is the strength of it, that is how much you can attract. Pastor Edika shared something with me 4 years ago that changed my life. We had just finished Faith Adventure, and I was about entering the office, and he walked up to me and said, "Ah, Pastor Rami, you're always talking about the blessing. Do you know that the blessing actually means, the word blessing comes from the word blood?" And then he smiled and walked away. He said, "Check it out." So I began to study and check it. I discovered that the word, you know, I have to read this. I had to write this down. The word blessing, the word as we know it today as blessing, the English word is from the word bletsian, the old English word bloodsian. And it means to consecrate by right, to smell upon an altar for the purpose of invoking spirits and consecrating. So the word bless, hello. The word bless in ancient English actually means you take blood, you put it on an altar. Then on the basis of that blood, someone does what? Someone speaks words, and then the forces attracted by those spirits begin to go into operation to work for you. That's where we get the word blessing, which today has been interpreted to mean benediction, but it never meant benediction. Because when those words are spoken, they need to be power, influence, that begins to get things to work. So it's not that somebody just spoke words. There is a life source from where those words are spoken. That's why men speak words on the authority of a life source. There's a life force. And you know, there's something about blood. Because that is where spirit and matter meet. The meeting point of spirit and matter is blood. The interface between this physical world and the spiritual world is blood. Why do men use animal sacrifices to invoke blessings, to consult spirits? Are you getting me? Because blood ways are portals. I believe somebody's getting what I'm saying. Blood ways are portals. And let me say this. The world we live in is a very bloody world. It's a blood-ruled world. It's a blood-ruled world. It's not, it's, everything is not as it seems. It's not the way it looks. Men of blood rule. You remember the children of Israel? There were 9 outstanding miracles. What did God say? I am bringing one more miracle. And look at the certainty with which God spoke. He said, after this, Pharaoh will let you go. And he said, you will not go empty-handed. Meaning that there's something that happens when blood hits the dance floor. The music changes. The tides are turned. And that's why men use blood to invoke spirits. The first time scripture tells us, after the first time, after the fall, that the Spirit of God was summoned. How many of you know when it happened? When a man's blood was shed. After Cain killed Abel. What happened? The Bible said the blood of Cain, Abel, began to cry out. It summoned God. Did God show up? He did. Because the interface between spirit and matter is blood. It is a doorway. A door was opened. And God came to Cain and said, Cain, what is it you have done? Abel's blood said, God come. God came. Oh, glory to God. And blood still calls spirits. The father of all spirits was summoned by blood. And guess what? That blood was shouting, avenge me. Avenge me. If not for the mercy of God, how many of you know the demands of justice, Cain would have been killed. And that's why people who are involved in all manner of human rituals, how many of you see they don't live normal lives? Because the blood begins to speak. And God is the judge and the arbiter of the earth. Don't remain an ordinary person. Don't write ordinary songs. Don't have an ordinary ministry. When you enter into a city, don't be deceived. There are forces there that don't want you to succeed. Oh, but the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, it says, but you have come to Mount Zion. You have come to the city of the living God, to the heavenly Jerusalem. He said, you've come to an innumerable company of angels, the church and general assembly of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. He said, you've come to God, the judge of all. You've come to who? Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. Then you have come to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. There is blood speaking on my behalf. There is blood speaking. And the Bible says this blood is not like the blood of Abel. What was Abel's blood crying for? It was crying for vengeance. Thank you. But I bring you good news. Amen. The blood of Jesus is speaking victory. That means the blood of Jesus has summoned God's spirit on my behalf, saying that Arome must be everything I died for him to be. That is what it means to be blessed. So that when I see God speak right now, guess where he stood and spoke to me? He spoke to me in the precious blood of Jesus. What makes the word of God unfailing and empowers me to become everything is because the blood of Jesus is the life force that makes those words powerful. The Bible is different from the words of the president. When altars speak, higher bloods rule. So speak. That is what it means to be blessed in Christ. So when the Bible says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings, make no mistake. Make no mistake. What that scripture is saying is that blood has been spilled on our behalf. I was thinking about Joseph. I can show you these things through scriptures. Why did Joseph excel? If his brothers knew that day that they killed him and dipped his robe in blood, they had sealed his future, they wouldn't have done it. You remember, his father made him a coat of many colors. Then they killed an animal. After killing the animal, they took the coat of many colors and dipped it in that blood. That was the day that they sealed that picture that his father saw concerning him. Do you know from that day, everything started working for him? And let me bring you good news. The animal that was killed is a type of Jesus. Why? The animal was killed as a substitute for who? He was sealed as a substitute for Joseph. That means where Joseph would have died, an animal took his place. Then everything that his father Jacob said concerning him, they dipped it where? In that animal. So that blood became the seal of his future. Oh, I bring you good news. In the same way, hallelujah. Where we would have died, Jesus took our place. Then every word that God spoke concerning us and our future was dipped in that blood. And everything God has said concerning me, nothing can stop it from coming to pass because I am blessed. So it doesn't matter where you start. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter who you are. If you are in Christ Jesus, the influence of heaven is upon you. Now, what you need to do is learn how does this blessing work and how you can use it to your advantage and to your benefit anywhere you go. And nothing will be able to stop you. The psalmist said in Psalm 23, verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. It says, you anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Proverbs 10 says, blessings are upon the head of the righteous. When someone is saved, there is something upon that person. And listen, what is upon you determines what you attract. In 1 Samuel, the Bible says, Saul was an ordinary man. Tall, shy man. Guess what he was looking for? He's missing donkeys. But God has spoken to Samuel concerning him. Nobody knew him. As a matter of fact, the day of ordination that Israel had been clamoring for a king, Saul was hiding. They were looking for him. But Samuel said something to him when he met Saul. He took a vial of oil and did what? And he poured it upon him. And scripture tells us that what? He said to him, he said, as you live here and you are going, you will meet what? You will meet three men. Say, one of them will be holding three bread. He will give you two and he will keep one. Listen, why was Samuel speaking with so much confidence to Saul? It's what is on your head that determines what you attract. What makes people, if a man will have three loaves of bread and will not give you one and keep two, is an anointing. It's influence. Everything that the prophet said concerning Saul, as Saul went, his experience changed. You know why his experience changed? He had an encounter. What was on his head had transformed him. Proverbs 10:6 says, blessings are upon the head of the righteous. How many righteous people do I have listening today? There is something on your head. That's why meetings like this give you encounters that when you go back, your experiences change. It's after meetings like this, you start hearing things like, it was after this meeting, this began to happen, this began to happen, this began to happen. You know why? Something comes upon us when we gather like this. It's called the anointing of God's Spirit. Can you just worship God wherever you are? I sense the power of God so strong here tonight. I see shifts. Mandorabata sotalabraka zozeka. I see years of struggling ending. Likato zambrata zotalabare kashubrata. Rabakado zetulabrahanda levreto zakalaba. Randa zotaya liba. Inglata zantarabakato zofregedo zakaliba. Harakali. Mankalababa. Mankalabakato sufrekalaba. Maybe you're like Jehoshaphat. There were ships you built. And those ships never made it to their destination. It didn't go to his desired ports. Lift your hands right now. Libakato. And maybe people have met you and said, look, let's do this thing. And you said, no, I'm tired. I'm not doing it again. Lift your hands. It's for you that God has come tonight. That those things that did not work before. Because what I hear in my heart is God is saying, I should tell you that you will go back to those things with a new understanding. But you are living with something tonight. Wherever you are listening, wherever you are watching, lift your hands up right now. Put it on your head. Ligarato zandaraba kata zonteleba ha ha ha. Levredo zotaraba halebrato zantalaba. Embrando zota haika levrendo zakala mahalabo. Begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. Mankrata zantalaba. And begin to declare as you pray, my experiences have changed. Lebrakata zontalabrato zant. Standing here, something is happening to me. Something is happening to me right now. Mangla para regado zondolo branta zata levo ko shapara ha lengrata zandala branto zekalaba livranto zovre darabakata zontalabaka lekreto zutu de baha linkita ha Hallelujah. I want to share this testimony with you in 2 minutes and then I pray. About 4 years ago, Pastor Avisi was chatting with one of her old schoolmates. And they were just talking. How is life with you? How are you doing? And he said, things are not working. Things are not working for me. So I'm frustrated. Then he said, I heard your husband is a pastor. He said, yes. See, we even have a church in Abuja. So Pastor Avisi said, why not worship with us this Sunday? My husband is going to be in church preaching. He said, I don't have transport to come. Pastor Avisi said, no problem. I will send you money to go. But go to that service. Introduce yourself to him. So my wife called me and said, look, we have somebody who is coming for this meeting. And he has lots of issues. Then we're still at Nest Suites. And he was early to church. He sat there. See, you must have an expectation. He was early to church. He sat there. So I came to church, you know, we started service, but somehow he caught my attention. So after service, people were leaving. So he walked up to me. I know, you know, I have this tradition of greeting first-time guests. So I was just greeting some of the first-time guests who were there. And then he just introduced himself and said, he's the person. I said, yeah, I had a feeling. But I still had to address some administrative things. So I said, yes, what is it? We just talked. We talked for like 5 minutes. I looked at him and I said, if you have time, I would like to really talk with you and share with you. He said, Pastor, I don't do anything. Right now, as I'm talking to you, I'm in a bad shape. I have time. So I said, could you come and meet me in so-and-so place? He said, anywhere you ask me to come, I'm ready to come. His story is so touching. I'm sure probably he's even watching right now. Hallelujah. And he came and I shared with him on the blessing. And he bent the knee. Hallelujah. And I laid my hands upon him and prayed for him. I said, never miss a church service. Keep coming. And I gave him transport. Amen. For 2 Sundays he came. After a month, we didn't see him again. 3 months later, he was chatting my wife. He said, look, how is your husband? Things happen very fast. A bearer's life is an eternal testimony. I always talk about it. Amen. That one encounter can change a man's life forever. He said, Pastor, it's like people began to remember me from everywhere. All of a sudden, they began to think about me. He said, I knew it was not normal. He said, the reason you stopped seeing me in church because I had to travel outside the country. He said, I got into a business. The business I was doing, someone said, hey, I remember you were doing this business before. He said, yes. He said, come, let's talk about it. He said, before I knew what? I had to get my passport. I had to travel out of the country. He was around recently. Amen. He said, it's like time was compressed for him. His life changed. The power of the blessing. We have a sister in our church in Abuja. Her name is Ella Emanuela. She was a core member when she started coming to church. Amen. Had an incurable disease. Was trusting God for a lot of things, for her family. But I loved her dedication. She would travel every Sunday from Kefi to attend church in Abuja. For over 4 months, she kept coming. And I remember that day I wanted to give her transport as usual. He said, Pastor, it's okay. He said, I've grown past there. Then her life within 6 months transformed. Some of you in Abuja Church know her. She always has testimonies. The blessing is powerful. Some of those things I can't share here. When I saw her for the first time this year, we had not seen her in a long time. She held me. She soaked my clothes. She was in tears. That incurable disease, she was completely healed of it. Completely healed. She said the power of the communion. I can share testimonies with you. Lift your hands wherever you are. Father, in the name of Jesus, concerning that person that you showed me that your story looks like Jehoshaphat, put your hand on your head tonight. If your story is what we're reading in Jehoshaphat's life, every ship that you built that didn't make it to its destination, in the name of Jesus, I say, pick up those ships. Build those ships again and sail again, says the Spirit of the Lord. Sail again for the gold of Ophi. Sail again, says the Spirit of God. Have no fear. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. I declare upon you today that your fortunes have turned around. That the supernatural influence of God has come upon you. That where you were told no, men are seeking you now. In the name of Jesus. That where you were counting one and you're counting thousands, step into a new dimension of finances. Bigger customers coming your way in the name of the Lord Jesus. I decree and I declare today, in the name of Jesus, that story is turned around. In the mighty name of Jesus, the anointing of God has come upon you. Your experiences have changed. That after today, when you open your mouth to speak, people will literally be spellbound. They will be held by the power of your words. I declare that your product and your services will be sought after in the name of Jesus. You might be at the back of the ladder, at the back of the line right now. Thus says the Spirit of the Lord, they will bypass every other person, and the grace of God and the favor of God will cause you to be located, and you'll be preferred and picked above others. In the name of Jesus, I declare that change has come. I declare that change has come. Because that eternal sacrifice on Calvary tree is upon which we stand, and we declare tonight that you are blessed. I declare that you are blessed. I declare that you are blessed. I just heard in my heart, you will run faster than those who taught you. You will go farther than those who taught you. You will rise higher than your mentors.
We know that you were richly blessed by the teaching you just heard, and we encourage you to give attention to every bit of it, because that brings you another step closer to amazing testimonies. For more life-changing messages like this one, visit www.christfamilyministries.org.